Hey everyone, Dustin from the Dallas Soccer Show here. Just wanted to take a quick second before we start the episode to let you know that after we recorded this episode and talked about Christian Coman and what he means to this team and his play as of late, news broke that he has torn his ACL and is out for the rest of the season. And so no matter what we may think or say about his play on the field, he is a member of our team and we want nothing but the best for him. And so Christian, hope you feel better soon. All right, let's go ahead and start this episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and unlike normal, I'm not actually joined by Tristan Vick this episode. He called in sick, and I put up the bat phone or the bat signal or the hoops signal or whatever it is and got on the horn and... Jared Tilley answered the call of duty. How's it going, Jared?
It's going well, and obviously, thanks for having me on. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's we read your stuff on Big D all the time, and it's good to have you actually join us on the show.
Well, I appreciate it again. I've been listening probably, I don't know, a couple months now. They're always looking for, you know, content. There's not a lot of it, you know, podcast wise. And I came across y'all a couple months ago, and I've really, really enjoyed it. So I'm excited to be on.
Well, you're too kind and you're probably lying, but we'll
move on. I'm not. I swear I'm not. It was all in the Slack channel, the Big D Soccer Slack channel. We passed around ideas, and then y'all came highly referred. So I gave it a listen and I've been listening ever since.
Awesome. Well, for our listeners that may not know you, let's back up and let's have you give us your story and how you became a Big D writer and all that entails.
Yeah, so I have been following the club since probably 2010-ish. I got into soccer during that World Cup. I wanted something different. I wanted something new. So I got heavily invested into that World Cup. And then once it was over, I was hooked. So I wanted something local. I wanted to support something local. FC Dallas was right down the road. So I started watching. Of course, the season I watch, very first one is 2010, MLS Cup. And of course we lose in extra time on an own goal, but from that moment, I've just been a fan. I'm reading everything I could, everything I can. I remember reading Daniel Robertson back in the day, just watching him progress. And then the opportunity arose in 2015, I believe, where Big D or Drew from Big D was looking for writers. I'd been writing for a small website on the side, that's fun. So I applied. He liked my work. And 3 years later, we're still here, still doing it, thoroughly enjoy it.
And the rest is history.
It is for now, at least.
Well, Big D has provided us several awesome guests, and I'm glad to have you on. So let's dive right in on to the Portland game, if you want.
Sounds great to me.
All right. So FC Dallas traveled up to Portland and we came away with a 0-0 draw. It was a largely unchanged side. In fact, I think it was completely unchanged from the Vancouver match, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. Portland was without Sebastian Blanco, so that was good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm not going to lie. There was a good swath of the second half that I just don't remember because I was more interested in the things going on Twitter. But, you know, it was another one of those matches where we were playing tactically, not necessarily to go all out and score a bunch of goals, but to neutralize the strengths of Portland. What'd you make of that game?
I think it's a couple of things. Number one, anytime you go on the road, you play on turf, you go to Portland, especially this late in the season, and you can get some kind of result out of the match, sign me up. You know, even if it is uneventful, even if it is 0-0, a point is a point. And at this point of the year, that's excellent. So I'm not necessarily too bothered by the result. I'm honestly not even too bothered by the way that we played. Yes, we didn't have that many shots on goal. I think we've had like one or two. But we controlled the majority of the match. Now, granted, some of that could be because Sebastian Blanco wasn't there. Missing him is a big part of their team going forward. But between Vic, between Carlos, Maddie, and Reto, I mean, they controlled that zone 14, the zone right in front of the goal. And they controlled it. They funneled everything out. And it was a fairly comfortable 0-0 draw against a potential playoff team that we're going to meet in November. So, I mean, that alone gives me a lot of hope looking forward.
For sure. Yeah. And you mentioned Portland's not an easy place to go up and get a result. I was reading an article today from the Oregonian or something like that. I forget the name of the newspaper. Sorry, Oregon fans, all zero of you that are listening. So they were saying that Portland is the second best team in the West at home this season. And they're the only team in the last three seasons to have at least 10 home wins. So anytime you can go up there and get a point and not lose, it's a good day in my books.
Yeah. I mean, and then I think even Steve had mentioned this, or Steve remarked on the telecast. Winning in Vancouver the week before was huge. You know, you have back-to-back games, traveling to the West Coast, and walking away with 4 points out of a potential six on the road against two teams who were, one of them's fighting to get in the playoffs, one of them's fighting to stay in the playoffs. You're going to walk away ecstatic at 4 points from that. So, yes, it was methodical. Yes, it was boring. But, yes, it was also effective.
People have been complaining about, you know, how boring the last, I guess, three matches are. I think we've not scored an open play goal in the last three matches since that Houston match. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way I look at it is I see a coach who's been working on being more flexible this whole season and being more able to field different tactics. And I feel like this is him warming up for the things that he might see in the playoffs and getting the players accustomed to not necessarily playing the same way every match and really drilling down and focusing on certain things and certain styles of play to kind of just get themselves ready for whatever they may see in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree 100%. I mean, if you look at, yes, we have not scored from the run of play against Columbus, Vancouver, and now Portland. But in all three of those matches, minus Davies being a cheat code in MLS right now, the guy is ridiculous. They controlled the majority of all three of those matches. So in a way, like, yes, they're not, you know, peppering goalies with shots, this and that, but they're also not set up to do so. A lot of times, if you look at this Western Conference playoff run, it's going to be not who scores the most, but who can prevent the other team from scoring. Everyone can score going in. You know, LAFC, Sporting Kansas City, these teams, they have players who can score, but it's going to be the teams that are able to just grind out victories, grind out away results, and then bring it back home and then maybe do something different tactically. But like you said, Oscar has the tools now. He has the flexibility to do that. So seeing him tinker and go back and forth, depending on what the opponent brings, has been really, really exciting to see the evolution of his game as well as the team's itself.
For sure. Definitely not, you know, the sexiest football. We're not Atlanta by any means. It's not, you know, definitely not exciting, but like you said, if you look at it from that perspective, it actually is kind of exciting in its own way, I guess you could say, in the soccer nerd way.
I mean, like Seattle went to MLS Cup and won MLS Cup with the blandest version of soccer. They're not going to give that trophy back. They don't care. They won MLS Cup without putting a shot on goal. They don't care. I wouldn't care. I would not apologize as the team's lifting MLS Cup. I don't care how you win. Win ugly. Just win, you know? This whole thing where it has to be pretty, it has to be that. Atlanta got knocked out last year by an ugly, grinded out result. Yep. So I don't think Columbus is going to apologize for knocking them out. Like, oh, he didn't play pretty enough soccer. Who cares? You play to win, you know?
Exactly.
That's where I always look at that.
All right. Well, speaking of ugly soccer, I guess that might transition us into some of the talking points. And number one on the list of talking points would be Christian Coleman starting. You know, he's got, I think I mentioned this on Twitter this week. He's such a divisive player. Like you know what he's there for. And it's not necessarily to score goals. It's to move around center backs so that other people can have looks and to win the aerial duels. But he gets these wide open opportunities and then just hits the goalkeeper right in the chest.
Yes.
It's one of those things that it makes you not be able to talk like just me just now. So
the funny thing about this is so Big B Soccer, the blog, we have a Slack channel with all the writers in it. And on most days, it's just pure chaos. We're all arguing back and forth. And this was today's argument. Is Coleman any good in his new role? You know, his new role being, is he good at being a target forward? So as you're bunkering, you're able to spray balls to him. He's able to run him down and hold him up. You know, is he able to win headers in the midfield? Is he able to play that hold up game? And part of me, one of the arguments was, they've gotten the results with him up top. You know, there is something to say for that. Now, granted, they haven't looked good going forward, but
I don't think they've wanted to, though, necessarily.
That's the other side. They weren't looking at pushing men forward. They weren't looking at trying to overload certain areas of the field to get mismatches, this and that. So in a way, he's been terrific. He's played his part. Going forward, if you need a goal, I would assume that he wouldn't be the one starting. I wouldn't even expect him to start this weekend. But for his responsibility right now, yeah, I think he's done fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. So today I had meetings all day, but in between some meetings, I looked, and right about the same time that I saw Jason Poon's Scratching the Chalkboard article, I saw that Armin Kafai had posted a very, very similar article in that they both talked about Coleman and they both talked about his aerial duels, and they both came out with some slightly different conclusions. Jason's point was that, you know, look at all the, he won all these aerial duels, but nothing came from them. And I was talking to Armin and he was telling me, he's like, I don't know that matters at all. And so, you know, cause when you've got him up trying to win the balls from those clearances, there's not going to be a whole lot of people around him to win it to. It doesn't matter. What matters is that he's able to, you know, extend the clearance and things like that. So it's definitely an interesting argument and conversation to have, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and I think just those two alone, those two examples, I mean, that is fan base. That is all of us right now when we're talking about Coleman, because I see, you know, Armin's point of view. He's like, yeah, I mean, the goal is to relieve pressure. He's doing that. He's getting up there. He's, you know, bringing the ball down. Once the ball's at his feet, nothing's happening. And there were a couple of times where Coleman brought the ball down. He had it at his feet, and Mikey was breaking down the wing 1v1, you know, with a fullback, and he would place the ball behind him or out of bounds, or he just could not connect. So there is the step further where, like, yes, he is doing this, but we would love for him to do one step more and actually contribute going forward, since he is an attacking player. So, I mean, and that's the the dichotomy of Christian Coleman for the last 2 years.
Yep. The other thing, moving on from Coleman, I think that this conversation could go on for a while.
Yes.
so we'll just leave it there. The other thing that is driving FC Dallas fans bonkers, and if you look on, you know, into the fan Facebook pages or on Twitter, you'll see one name repeated over and over again, and it is Pablo Aranguiz. People are really mad about him not getting playing time.
Yes, they are. And
are you mad there, Jared?
Ask me again on Monday. so far, no. He looks good in Seattle. A couple of the other times when he started, he didn't look as good. He got beat up a lot. I believe it was in the Houston game. He took a beating. I don't want him out there, at least starting in Vancouver or Portland. I don't like turf. The ball's bouncing around, you know, it's like a racquetball on a racquetball court, just going everywhere. I'm glad he didn't at least start. Now, for subbing him in, that's a different argument. I can see why people would want him to sub him in. I thought there was a lot of space in the Vancouver match for him. The Portland match, we could have used him. In both cases, it really doesn't matter. They got positive results. But yes, I do understand the frustration, and I will be in that camp come Monday if he doesn't play over the weekend.
Agreed. I went out on a limb on Twitter on Monday morning and said, I'm predicting that he gets a start against Orlando. And we'll talk a little bit more about Orlando as we close out the show and kind of set up the week coming up.
Do you think the team is better with him as a 10 or Maxi as a 10?
I'm going to be a snake here, and I'm going to say it depends. I think it really depends on the game plan and the opponent. And I trust that Oscar Pereja is able to judge that and put in the right pieces in the right puzzle. I'm not a manager, and I'm just a guy with a computer and a microphone, as I've said several times on the show. So I have an opinion, but I'm not gonna die on a sword for Pablo Aranguiz.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think that should be the majority of our answers. Right? I mean, he's looked good. He's still super young. He's tiny. The guy weighs like 140. He's playing against grown men. I'm in hostile environments against big physical midfielders and, you know, defenders.
And if places, I thought Mauro Dio's got beat up a lot, it's like his first touch, he got bowled over. Pablo's first touch, he got bowled over was it the Minnesota game?
Like, yeah,
the one he started in?
Yeah, I couldn't remember. Was it Minnesota or Houston? Yeah, it was one of those.
It was Minnesota. They started him as a false winger.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
But and then,
yeah, I mean, sorry to cut you off there.
No. And the way that I look at it is we know what we have. Oscar knows what he has in him. Yes, we could be playing him more, but there is a balance of making sure lineups or making sure players are in the best possible position going into the playoffs, because that is ultimate goal now. So the result was more important than getting him playing time. There are going to be minutes for him from here on out, and he will probably have to play a crucial role going here on out. So, I mean, there's plenty of minutes going around for him still, in my opinion, looking forward.
I would concur. All right. Well, speaking, and here's another fantastic segue for you. Speaking of plenty of minutes, we have a player on our team who has played more minutes than anybody else and has had a really good Monday. We're talking about Reggie Cannon. He got his call up to the United States men's national team the same day he was named to the MLS Team of the Week. So if you haven't heard, that's what's going on. He's going to leave for the October national team camp after the Orlando game, and he'll miss the DC United match. And then luckily we've got a week off after that before we face Sporting Kansas City at home. And so he'll be back for that one. I couldn't be more happy for that guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's ever since we saw him, probably Colorado US Open Cup last year, was when everyone realized, okay, we've got something here. This kid, I mean, at the time he was what, 18, 19? He's 20 now. And just seeing him against an MLS side, yes, it was in the Open Cup, but to see him, what he was doing it against an MLS side at that point, we were like, okay, this kid might have something. And then fast forward now, a year and 30 games later, he's been, I mean, there has to be, he might be team MVP this year. He has been Mr. Reliable. He has shut down some of the biggest offensive players in the league. He has not gotten burned. I don't think he's given up a penalty. He's given up a couple free kicks right outside the box. I don't think he's conceded a penalty. Hasn't been sent off. He's been outstanding. And I mean, for all of us, we've been calling for this since what, April, June. And it's really, really exciting to see him get called up. He's the nicest dude on Instagram, on Twitter. If you ever meet him in the locker room, he's just the nicest, sweetest dude out there. So it's really exciting to see him get called up and get recognized.
Yeah. He's definitely got his head on right there. And he's got a head on his shoulders, as they would say. And plus he was my first player interview. We interviewed him. We had him on the show. I think it was the week he scored his first MLS goal. And so now I get to brag to all my friends and family on Facebook that the guy, my first player interview, is now on the national team. So
yeah,
that's a point of pride for me here at the Dallas Soccer Show.
Isn't it crazy to think that on the national team in 2 weeks, you have three FC Dallas Academy players that basically all played right around together, if not with each other, between Kellen, Reggie, and Weston. That academy is ridiculous.
That's bonkers.
I mean, just all of them just running around, clowning on everyone, and now they're all at the next level, which is really, really awesome to see. And then ultimately encouraging that the talent's there. We just got to be patient and wait for it, I guess.
Yeah, and it speaks to the vision of the club as a whole, and their willingness to play the long game. And it's not just about winning now. It's about building something that's sustainable going forward. And that's always a good thing.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
All right. Well, we're about to wrap things up here. Before we go, let's set up the Saturday's match against Orlando. I have one note written down. They're bad.
My one note is they've given up 66 goals. Dear God.
Yeah. So with that being the case, I think it's safe to say we're going to see some key figures rested. Oscar may be wanting to, you know, get some more reps for this whole squad that he's had, but I don't think you can look at this match and not want to try some new things and some new faces out. Because you never know, you might actually need them for the playoffs. And so if they're going cold, then that's not going to be helpful.
Yeah, I think formation changes. I think the back line stays the same. I would expect Jesse in goal. I would expect Vic and Carlos still. Now everything in front of that will probably change. I wouldn't mind seeing Lamal get a run. He had moments when he came in off the bench last weekend. He looked rusty, as you would expect for a guy who's missed, you know, a month and a half. But I mean, he can still fly, and he still ran with the ball at his feet, and he was still able to zig and zag. So I wouldn't mind seeing him get some minutes. You know, Santi seems like he's always has a nagging injury. So maybe get him a week off. That'd be great. And as for up front, I would assume Baji would probably get some minutes if I had to guess. I mean, who knows? But I would like to see him get a run against a terrible back line to see if he can't you know, spring a trap and get out on the run and then 1v1 against the keeper. But
yep.
I think going the offensive part of the team will probably be changes. I wouldn't expect much defensively though.
That's fair. We do have that week off after the DC United game. So that might be factor into, you know, the defense getting their rest.
Yeah,
but I think you're right. Go ahead.
Oh, I apologize. I was going to say, and if we've learned anything from San Jose, like this team plays to its competition sometimes. So it's one of those things where this is the easiest game left on the schedule. You have to take care of business here. I mean, this could potentially be the difference between, you know, first round bye or playing a one-off game to see if you can get to the home and away series. So, I mean, you have the opportunity in front of you. I would say go out, don't play with your food, and just take them out of the game early, and then you can make your subs as you see fit.
Yeah, I'd agree. I thought maybe they'll put in Hayes for either Ulloa or Grezo in this match, but I think you're right. I think that comes in as a sub later on, and I think you're spot on with your prediction of like all of the changes happening up above that. I wouldn't be surprised to see, in fact, all four of the attacking players be different this match than they were last.
So that would be Lamont, Baji, Aaron Gies, and Tesha for you?
Yeah, I think that's what I wouldn't be surprised to see it.
I mean, that's speed everywhere and someone potentially who could unlock them all. I would not be opposed to that either. And especially with Orlando's backline is so bad. They get lost in space. They don't communicate. They don't track runs well. So on paper, this is a perfect opportunity for Aaron Gies to come in and be that playmaker role. Now, if he comes in and has a terrific day, it's only going to lead to more clamoring going forward as he sits on the bench for a more subdued side that will grind out results. But we'll see, I guess.
Luckily, I don't think Oscar reads FC Dallas Twitter, so that is a good thing.
God, I hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're listening,
Oscar, I'm sorry.
People were asking for him to be fired a couple weeks ago. Fired.
Yeah. We don't have time to get into that either. No. So, all right. Well, we're gonna shut things down here and let everybody get on with their week. Thank you to Jared Tilley for joining us. Jared, where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can read all my stuff at Big D Soccer and on Twitter. My Twitter handle is JTilley, TILLEY02.
Excellent. Everybody go give him a follow. And then while you're there, check us out at Dallas Soccer Show. You can find us at our website, DallasSoccerShow.com. And then if you listened to the end of the show last week, you heard my rant, but please go find, subscribe and review your favorite FC Dallas podcasts on the Apple iTunes podcast app. And with that, everybody have a good week. Take it easy.